I want to talk today a little bit about Abraham and the second call. So remembering last time we had a time change, you know, when I was in Tillamook once and I forgot to set my clock ahead Saturday night. Mass was at 8:30. I got a call at 8:35. I got a second call. Anyway, I got a round of applause when I came in, though. It's a little bit late. Abraham, in this story, has already had a long relationship with God. He began with, he was a Bedouin, you know, somebody that wandered around with his flock and his animals, and that was their wealth. They lived in the land of Canaan, where Israel is now, and he heard God speaking to him. He did not know God. There was no conception of one God. And Abraham was told by God, he said, I want you to, you will be the father of many nations. Abraham was already an old man. He was probably about 70, you know, 60, in his late 60s, and beyond the period where normally you have children. But Abraham believed. And then he waited. And he waited. And he waited. He waited over 20 years for God to fulfill that promise. Abraham took matters in his own hands. He wasn't perfect. He had a child with his slave girl. That was something people did when the wife was sterile, to try to fulfill God's promise. He tried to anticipate God. God, that was not God's plan. Later, they had a visitation from three mysterious individuals who came by the tent and said, next year, you will have a child. And that was Isaac. And Sarah laughed because she couldn't believe it. She was almost 100 years old. What, am I going to have a child now? She thought. God spoke to Abraham and he said, through Isaac, you will have descendants like the stars in the sky. This is a wonderful call, you know, and Isaac was on the way. Now we get to today's story, and God speaks to Abraham again. Isaac's probably about 11 or 12 years old. So this is like 30 years or more since God first spoke to Abraham and gave him this wonderful vision. And he says to Abraham, now what I want you to do, Abraham, is to take this child of the promise through whom I'm going to bless you with many descendants and offer him up as a human sacrifice. What would you do if you heard that? Well, I asked that question at 5:30 and one lady said, I'd check myself into the Salem Hospital immediately. You know. Depends on the day and the time. Well, I would have said, see you later, God, and I'd take Isaac with me. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have done that. And but remember, the Ten Commandments were hundreds of years in the future. And human sacrifice was common at the time of Abraham. God took advantage of this to test Abraham. Abraham would not have thought it unusual for a God to ask this. What he found unusual was that it would be the son of the promise. And God says, take this son, your only one. Notice he ignores the other child, the half-brother. Take this son, your only one, whom you love. Note the words, whom you love, and go and sacrifice him. Now this, of course, reminds us of something else, doesn't it? Christ is God's only son, whom he loves, his only one, whom God is going to later allow to be sacrificed, and he won't stop it. This lies 1,000 years in the future, but you can see the echo in Abraham's story. It's so close, it's chilling. Isaac is Jesus in this story. And Isaac goes out, and this part was skipped in our reading today, but it's very interesting. Isaac goes out carrying the wood for the sacrifice on his own back. That's what Abraham allowed Isaac to carry, was the kindling, you know. And Isaac and Abraham are walking along. Abraham's got the knife and the fire somehow, whatever it is to make fire. And the things they need for the journey, Abraham is carrying all of that. And I often wonder what they talked about on the way. what kind of a conversation would you have with your son when you're about to do this? His son would say, gosh, Dad, I sure can't wait till we get home. Well, there's a conversation stopper, isn't it? He's not coming home. Or, I wonder if we're going to be moving our herd. Are we going to be moving in a few months to someplace else? So there must have been a lot of silence on this journey, don't you think? With Abraham thinking about God's promise and what God asked him to do and the son he loves next to him. I wouldn't have gotten that far, but I certainly wouldn't have kept going. But Abraham did. And then Isaac says to him, he says, Father, here is the wood on my back, and you have the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Well, that would have done it for me, I'll tell you. Abraham says, he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. And that's Christ, you know. So, anyway, to make a short story long, he takes the binding that he's carrying and ties up his son, probably caught him by surprise, probably blindfolded him, you know, and put him on the stone. You can hardly believe this. And puts him on the stone. And God has not intervened. I don't know what Abraham thought was going to happen. How can this be? How can this be the son of the promise? He takes his hand to slaughter his son. Can you imagine doing this? I would never have gotten this far. I don't think you would have either. He takes his knife to slaughter the son. And then the angel of the Lord says, go no further. Now I know you love me. Now I know you love me. This story rings true for many reasons, not only because it echoes the gospel so perfectly, the sacrifice that God the Father would make, and nobody would stop that from happening. Abraham had this second call. You notice that the first call was filled with promises and stars in his eyes, literally. The second call was not like this. It was filled with dread and darkness and difficulty and impossibility. And it was from the same God. The Virgin Mary had this same experience when the angel Gabriel promised her everything about her child. But we see her 33 years later, at the foot of the cross, and she's having her second call. There's her son dying on the cross. It's the same God. It's the same call, but everything has changed, except Mary has remained faithful through that great test that she was put through. Moses had the same experience. You see, most of the people in the Bible have had two calls. One is when it was easy. One is when it was very difficult. God doesn't tell us the difficult thing at first, or we would not go forward. But we have to go forward to maturity if we're going to walk with him all the way. This comes up in our lives in many ways. A person may start praying, especially during Lent. It seems easy. The Bible is easy to read. God is speaking to me. And then it gets harder. And it gets harder, and you watch the clock, and you are uncomfortable. This is the second call to prayer. It doesn't mean it's time to leave. It means it's time to grow up, time to be mature, time to persevere when it doesn't feel good. And that's the Lord. You're having an Abraham and Isaac moment. It comes up the most, in my experience, from people I've talked to, I think in marriage. Most of us here have experienced that or will, and it's, you know, when you first fall in love and you meet somebody, it's kind of like the Abraham moment at the beginning with the stars in your eyes, and you know, you always hope for the best and have great plans for the future and all of that and the wedding and you know, but somewhere along the line, for many couples, maybe most, not all, but maybe most, something's changed. You know, it's not quite as fun as it used to be. The person you thought was going to change hasn't changed yet, like you hoped they would, or maybe they have and they have changed in the wrong direction. Or they've been unfaithful. Or somebody's gotten sick and you have to take care of them. You're in the second call of your commitment. Some people don't make it. It's an Abraham and Isaac moment. The Lord called you to marriage, like he called me to priesthood, but it's not always easy, you see? He didn't promise it would be easy. Love, maturity, sacrifice comes at the other end when it's not easy. It's been 13 years now since I put my head under the bishop's hands, you know what I mean? Things are not the way I thought they would be when I started with the priesthood. Nothing ever is. The second call comes when it's not as much fun. And that's true for every way of life, if we are following God's will. You see this also particularly with parents, you know. You have these great aspirations for your children, and sometimes they look like you, but they don't act like you when they grow up. Unfortunately, they have their own human nature and their own independence, and you have to sit there and watch them go off and make mistakes. And you can't do anything about it, even though you can see over the horizon and you know what's going to happen to them. But they have to find out for themselves. Maybe they've left the faith. Maybe they've made mistakes. And what is even harder, perhaps one of your children has died. But it doesn't stop you from being a parent. It's just the second call. Remember, Mary went through this as well. And it's a call to keep going, not to give up on God. The definition of this is that God seems very present at one end. He seems very absent at the other. Look at Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She described her call to go to the missionaries of charity as a second call. She entered the religious life, and 18 years later, God called her to go to Calcutta, and then he turned off the microphone and didn't talk to her again for 40 years, apparently. That's the call to maturity. He gives that only to his most chosen friends that he knows will not bolt. I wouldn't have lasted 40 years, but she did. And so God asks us to walk with him, to journey with him. God wants to, we all have our moment with Abraham, like Abraham, in which God calls us to walk with him in the darkness. Last night we sent off many of our, those who could go, who are going to be entering the church in the Easter Vigil, just 4 weeks. They went down to Eugene this morning, or they're going this morning, for the rite of election. And they all signed the book here last night. And you know, it's just great when you're first entering the church and everything's wonderful, and many of you have experienced this. But later, it can be very difficult when God then seems very absent. And you wonder if you've made the right decision. And that's the call to grow up. When God isn't feeding us carrots to keep us going all the time. So in this gospel, in the first reading then, Abraham's story is really our story. God has put this in our scriptures for a reason, because you are going to have, like Abraham, that moment of grave difficulty when it's not going to look easy, when God will seem very absent, when God has perhaps asked something of you that you can no longer give, or he asks the most precious thing that you have, which for Abraham was Isaac, wasn't it? The most very precious of things. How can God ask this of me? But we trust him, and in the end, we keep going. And so these moments can be, we can look at them as tragedies. We can look at them as difficulties. We can say we can't go on. Or we can think like Abraham, like Moses, like the Virgin Mary. And we can realize it is, in fact, the second call.